Tensions are high in the Ukrainian Black Sea port city of Odessa on the second anniversary of clashes between pro-Kyiv demonstrators and Moscow-backed militants that killed dozens. Hello from our broadcast headquarters in Prague, and welcome to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories we expect to make news this week. My name is Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast here at RFARL. Joining me in the studio is Pavel Butorin, managing editor of RFRL's Russian language television program, Current Time. Welcome, Pavel.
Thanks for having me here.
Thanks for being here. So demonstrations have been restricted in Odessa for today, and some 3,000 soldiers and police are patrolling the streets. Moreover, the anniversary of the May 2014 clashes comes as protesters are demanding the ouster of Odessa Mayor Gennady Trukhanov, who the Panama Papers have revealed to be, in addition to having offshore accounts, to being a Russian citizen. Pavel, is Odessa about to get hot?
Well, we do have, as you said, about 3,000 police and security officers on alert in the city. So it's definitely not your normal day in the usually jovial southern city of Odessa. Today is 2 years since nearly 50 people died as a result of a fire and clashes at the trade union palace in Odessa in May 2014. The unrest involved both Ukrainian and pro-Russian elements for activists, and reports vary, but you know, if you read the Russian press, most of the dead happen to be pro-Russian activists. They got poisoned by carbon monoxide. Some jumped out of the window
during a fire. Although the whole incident started when you had what I understand was a peaceful march of pro-Ukrainian demonstrators throughout the streets, who were attacked by pro-Russian forces. Who many believe were bussed in from Transnistria. These weren't locals fighting locals, is what it looked like. It looked like the troublemakers came in from the outside, according to the reports.
Again, reports vary.
And there's competing narratives.
There is basically two competing narratives in Moscow. If you watch Russian TV, this is all Ukrainian nationalists attacking a legitimate anti-government protest. Over the weekend and today, there have been traffic restrictions in place across the city. Vehicles are often pulled over for inspection. All of the government buildings are under heavy armed guard. An SBU, state security spokesman, told journalists over the weekend the police were bracing for quote-unquote provocations. Pro-Russian activists were planning a march through the city to the trade union palace, but of course all demonstrations have been restricted now. Besides the pro-Russian elements in the city, there are also right sector nationalists that came to the city ahead of the anniversary. And you have out-of-town National Guard soldiers that were called in by Governor Mikhail Saakashvili. So tensions are high. And on top of that, as you said, protesters have been demanding the ouster of the city
Trukhanov,
mayor,
yeah.
Gennady Trukhanov. And last week, unknown assailants fired a grenade launcher at a bank. The tent camp that was set up by the anti-mayor protesters was attacked by a group of thugs
with baseball bats.
And Governor Saakashvili linked both of these attacks to attempts by quote enemy elements to wreak havoc.
Odessa's a city I know pretty well. I lived there in the early 90s and I've visited since, and it is a completely Russian-speaking city, of course, but it's a very pro-Kyiv city in the sense they have their complaints about Kyiv, just like anybody has complaints about their capital. But they want to remain in Ukraine. The vast majority of Odessans want to remain in Ukraine. They call themselves their city is the freest Russian-speaking city in the world, and they'd like to keep it that way. But there's a lot of troublemakers in Odessa. My friend at Odessa University derisively calls them professional Russians. they're largely people drawn from organized crime, and they can stir up trouble. You know, it's not too hard to stir up trouble. And I'm just wondering if Moscow really thinks that it is going to make a play for Odessa, or if they're just trying to get as much propaganda mileage out of this as possible. I mean, a play for Odessa seems just completely foolish for my part, because there'd be taking very, very, very hostile territory.
I think it'll be interesting to see how this conflict between the city administration and the office of the governor will develop in the coming days and weeks. Obviously, today's situation is alarming, but I certainly do hope that it doesn't get too hot. You know, this morning there was a bomb threat made over the phone, and security searched the Kulikovo Polje, the area where it all happened and where commemorations were planned to take place. You know, there was no bomb, and we're keeping an eye on Odessa today for sure.
Yeah, no, I'd keep it. And I think you're right. It's good to look at this going forward. The struggle between Saakashvili and Trukhanov is going to be interesting. And if this does turn out to be true that he holds a Russian passport, well, that is illegal under Ukrainian law. And he certainly couldn't be mayor of a major Ukrainian city as a Russian passport holder. So we'll be keeping an eye on that as well. In other news, in what appears to be an effort to protect Muscovites from the evils of Pastafarianism, Moscow police broke up the opening of a temple of the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster at a cafe and in the Russian capital last week, saying it was designed to be provocative. The Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, of course, is it began in the United States as a protest against having creationism taught in public schools alongside of evolution. This guy started this group called the Flying Spaghetti Monster, and he wanted Pastafarianism to be taught as their creation myth. And this thing's kind of spread and gone global. It's gotten to Russia. Most people just kind of, you know, take it with a grain of salt and laugh about it. The Russians, the Moscow authorities apparently have no sense of humor when it comes to this thing, this case. They've already opened up a temple in Nizhny Novgorod, your hometown, Pavel.
They did.
It's not been broken up yet. It's actually right around the corner from an Orthodox church, if I'm not mistaken. In another example of the Russian authorities having no sense of humor, I understand that Current Time this week has an interesting piece from Novosibirsk about the monstration, a satirical demonstration that got its organizers in trouble with the law this week. Give us the details.
The demonstration is perhaps one of the most interesting things that happens every spring in Russia. It takes place in Novosibirsk and a few other places, but the biggest one was in Novosibirsk over this weekend. About 1,500 people participated. It's an absurdist demonstration with, you know, nonsensical chants, bizarre costumes, gibberish slogans, often with a subtle political subtext, because, you know, Russia has draconian laws restricting the right to assembly. So it's a lot of fun seeing all these witty slogans, often impossible to translate into English because they're often puns. So they carried, but, you know, by young and older people alike, these surreal parodies of protests. And even the most nonsensical slogans stirred controversy over the time. For instance, the LDPR, the Nationalist Party led by Zhirinovsky, wanted the slogan "Hell is ours,"
Ad nash,
which echoes
Krim nash,
Crimea is ours. So they wanted the slogan banned because supposedly it seemed offensive to Christians. So, yeah, I mean, it's not easy to choke about these matters in Russia.
And if you believe the Russian authorities, God, Christians must be the most delicate people in the world if something like that's going to offend them. And
I again, know, right? But also, like, you know, you got to admire the organizers of these protests. It's almost them saying, you know, you can just come out with anything at all, which is not sanctioned by the government, and be detained or arrested for that, you know. And so, and every year the organizers are faced with resistance by the authorities. And this time again, the main mastermind, so to speak, local performance artist Artyom Loskutov, was detained for breaking mass gathering regulations. So, yeah, we have a report from Novosibirsk. It's fun.
And again, this combined with the Flying Spaghetti Monster things, is the Russian authorities seem to have absolutely no sense of humor when it comes to things regarding religion. You can watch that video at www.currenttime.tv. And that, unfortunately, is all we have time for today. We'll wrap it up. You've been listening to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories making news in Russia. We do this every Monday, so be sure to tune in. I'm Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical Podcast. Joining me in the studio has been Pavel Butorin, managing editor of RFRL's Russian language television Current Time, which you can watch at www.currenttime.tv. Join us again next week, and now, as always, I leave you with the soothing sounds of Noise MC.